My name is Pastor Ben. Welcome to Emmanuel Church. I'm going to jump right on into it. If you were here with us last week, we are kind of looking at a Christmas carol, and we're kind of going through some of the verses. And so Pastor Jeff was looking at the idea of, do you see what I see? And you guys know the Christmas carol. Do you see what I see? And so Pastor Jeff kind of took up that verse last week. And this morning we're going to be looking at the verse that talks about, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. These are the lyrics of a man named Noel Regney, I think is how you say it, Noel Regney, and he actually wrote these lyrics to this song in 1962, and at the time when he wrote these lyrics, there what was going on in America and with Russia was the missile crisis that had gone on, the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so it was a really difficult time for him. It wasn't just difficult for him because there was this potential of war. The reason why it was more difficult for him is because he was actually enlisted to fight against his own will in World War II. So he had been in the war, and he'd seen many horrors while he was there. He was actually a French spy amongst the German troops. He actually was shot in World War II, and he survived it. So he'd seen the horrors of war, probably still very vividly in his imagination at that time, as he was hearing on the radio as the Soviet Union and USA were hurling threats across the radio at one another of the threat of nuclear war. And so the story goes that he had, by this point in his life, he had relocated to Manhattan. He was living in New York City. And he was walking home one day on the streets of Manhattan, and he had seen these two young mothers pushing their strollers. And he said for a moment, in his kind of bleak mood and a very difficult, heavy mood as he was pondering what was potentially ahead of them as a nation, what was ahead of the world, really. He saw these two babies in the stroller look at one another. And he said they smiled at one another. And he said something clicked in me, something happened in me that was profound, and it affected me. And that's actually where the line, he says that the babies reminded him of newborn lambs. And so that's why he sings about, said the lamb to the little shepherd boy. He's not crazy. He just, he's seeing just a beauty and something profound in these two young children. And I think it was at that moment that he began to write the song. I think he was also thinking of another child. I think he was thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. And as he began to pray for the peace of the world, that's where that song began. He was thinking of our baby Jesus. And so this week, as I was learning about this song and as I was reflecting on this reality that he was going through, I began to reflect on the words, a song high above the trees. Again, you can see the imagery here. High above the trees, a voice with a voice as vast as the seas. And I began to kind of ask myself the question, what is he talking about here? What is he talking about here? And as I pondered that, I was reminded of Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah. And very end of the book of Zephaniah in chapter 3, we learn that the Lord rejoices over us with singing. I said, well, how fitting is that? How fitting is that that the Lord would sing over you and I? That maybe if we listen, maybe if we pause just long enough, we'll hear this melody resonating throughout our world. That's so much bigger than us. That's so much higher above the trees. A voice that's vast singing over you and I. And so that's where I want to land this morning. I want to land in the book of Zephaniah. If you have your Bibles, you can pull them out and we can turn there. We're going to be jumping around the book a little bit. We're going to be spending most of our time in Zephaniah chapter 3. And as you guys are turning there, I'd just like to pray. So Father, we pause this morning as we begin to look at the words of the minor prophet Zephaniah, and we ask Jesus that you would speak. I pray that what you wrote through Zephaniah in that season would just grow even right now and jump off those pages and crawl into our hearts and become applicable to us even right now today, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that there's truth in what that prophet spoke and that you do sing over us. And I pray, Jesus, that over this next few minutes that you would help us to dial in our listening and help us to be able to hear your song clearly, Jesus. We love you and we give you the glory. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a minor prophet, and he actually comes, he lived during the final decades of the southern kingdom of Judah. If you want to do some more research on that, 2 Kings 22 to 23 kind of looks into that. And it was in the time of a king, King Josiah. And King Josiah was a king that actually really was after the heart of God. He wanted to bring the Israelites back to this place of a relationship with their God. And so he tried and he strived to do that. And Zephaniah kind of comes into the scene right in this season. And so Zephaniah as well is desperately trying to warn the Israelites. He sees this just very kind of not good situation unfolding, and he can see that they're turning away from their God, and he can see that there's idol worship going on, and that they're looking into pagan rituals, and they're not focused on Yahweh. They're not focused on their God. And so he comes in, and he's desperately trying to warn the nations of God's judgment. If something doesn't change, if you don't turn your hearts back to God, then it's inevitable. God's judgment is coming. You know, the beautiful part about Zephaniah, and I think that's why I landed here this week, is that that's not how the book ends. You see, the book ends actually with a promise. So we have this warning of God's judgment, and then chapter 3 begins to just proclaim this promise of the Lord. And it actually says that the Lord is going to be pushing through, and he's going to be pushing through his promises. And his promise is that there's going to be just this coming back to the Lord, the desire to transform the nations into a unified family. This is chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. So God promises this, and he's wanting to see this happen. He's wanting to see this great movement back to him. And he wants to see not just Israel, but the nations as a united family under him. You know, and when he talks about the nations, he's talking about you and I. That anyone that would put their trust and their hope in Jesus, in Yahweh, in God, they're going to partake in these promises. We learn about this in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6 explains that we become members of the same body and we begin to partake in the promises because of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we're part of the family. And so these promises are for you and I. And they're pretty amazing promises. So I wanted to read a little bit about what this promise is. What is the promise that God is singing over us? What is the promises that he's singing over Israel in this moment, and still today he sings over us? So this is in Zephaniah 3, 15 to 17. I'm just going to read it. For the Lord will remove his hand of judgment and will disperse the armies of your enemy. And the Lord himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. At last your troubles will be over. And you will never again fear disaster. In that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, "Cheer up, Zion. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And so that's the promise we have here in Zephaniah. And I think it's a beautiful promise. That's the song. That's the song that's high above the trees, that's resounding throughout our universe. You know, as I was reflecting on this, I don't think this is a song that's new. I don't think this is a new melody. I think many of us have read and know that the Lord is going to dwell among us, that he has a plan to prosper us. We know these things. But you see, what was happening in the time, in that time when the prophet Zephaniah came, is that I believe that God's song, God's promises to the Israelites were being, there was like this competition going on. And God's singing this melody over them, but then comes crashing in as this conflicting noise. And Israel was singing a very different song than the song that the Lord God wanted them to sing. And so I want to read a little bit from chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3, about just the bleak song that Israel was actually singing, where they were at, the state of Jerusalem. And so I'm just going to read. It'll be up on the screen there if you want to read along with me. But it just says, "What sorrow awaits rebellious, polluted Jerusalem, the city of violence and crime. No one can tell it anything. It refuses all correction. It does not trust the Lord or draw near to its God. Its leaders are like lions roaring and hunting their victims. Its judges like ravenous wolves at evening time, who by dawn have left no trace of their prey. Its prophets are arrogant liars, seeking their own gain. Its priests defile the temple by disobeying God's instructions." You know, there's several attitudes going on in Jerusalem. There's some characteristics that are floating around. And you know, I'm not so sure that we're void of those kind of characteristics in our world today. I think that sometimes as we look throughout the news, sometimes we don't have to walk very far out of these four walls, and maybe sometimes we don't even have to leave the church before we start to hear this song of selfishness, this song of arrogance, of pride, of anger, rage, hate. You know, I get the chance to spend a lunch hour at Mount Boucherie every week. And man, some of the stories that I'm just hearing, even just coming out of our local high school, it's just not a song that our God is singing. And so I think Israel's point of brokenness is still sometimes very real in our day today. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I began to think about the idea that this is, again, it's like a song. And so it's kind of like this. I'll give you an example right here. So James is over here, and James really likes me, and he cares about me. And so James knows that I love hip-hop, okay? And, you know, you used to not be able to get to listen to hip-hop because there's nothing really God-glorifying. But nowadays, there's some pretty cool artists coming along. So James, he's going to play me a song here because he's been looking for, like, who the next artist is that's coming up on the scene. And we're going to hear this. So he's going to play this song for me. And he's like, "Hey, Ben, Pastor Ben, come, you know, come listen. Listen to what I found." So he's coming up here. If you're curious at all, he's going to play this song by an author named 1K Few. Don't ask me why he calls himself that. And he's like, "Ben, this is a really good song. You should listen to this. This is great." And then just as he's doing that, Andy comes running into the room, and Andy's like, "Hey, Ben, I got this worship song. I know how much you love worship, so I want you to come listen to this worship song." And so I'm trying to listen to 1K Few, and then all of a sudden there's just like, and I just can't make sense of what is going on anymore. And I'm like, "Guys, like, I'm trying to hear what you're saying,
But like, speak up. Like, I don't understand what is going on. Can you just shut this racket off? And I give them their speakers back, and I'm like, you know, get out of my office. You know, it's like when, you know, my wife and I get in the car for a road trip. Like, you think we could figure out what to listen to? Like, good luck. Right? Like, they're going, you know, here's a complete all-out war in the car because we can't decide who's listening to what. And my other favorite is when Therese is trying to read her book, and I just want to listen to my music, and I'm not supposed to have headphones in because I'm driving, so my music's on, and she's like, I can't focus with your stupid racket. I'm trying to read the book, right? And then from the back of the car, you know, my daughter Peyton puts on the Frozen soundtrack because she loves it. And then you just hear my son from the back of the car, I hate Frozen. Why does she always have to play that stupid song? I hate it. And you see, we end up in this world where there's these melodies trying to sing throughout our world, and then all of a sudden they seem to be conflicting. And you know, when you have two melodies that are trying to belt out their tune over the trees and they begin to hit one another, we just have this jarbled mess of sound that all of a sudden doesn't really make a lot of sense anymore. And it's one thing for me to sit down and listen to Sticks and Stones on its own. It's a very, I don't even know what you were trying to play. It's another thing to try to listen to both of them simultaneously at the same time. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, music tends to have a profound effect on me, profound effect on my life. You know, some of my favorite worship songs have a way of just spurring me into like intercessory prayer in a way that like nothing else really does. Sometimes I put my favorite worship song on, and as soon as I begin to sing along and I begin to pray, and all of a sudden intercession starts to flow out of my mouth like no other time. And then when I listen to Sticks and Stones, it puts me in a totally different mood, and I want to dance around a little bit. And I'm not going to dance because I don't dance well. But, you know, songs tend to have this profound effect on me. You know, and I even remember growing up listening to an artist, Eminem, and sometimes the way that he would roll his lyrics and the way he would tie them together, it was beautiful, and it was actually inspiring to me. So sometimes artists have this opportunity to inspire us. On the other hand, there's many songs that Eminem writes that I can't even listen to because they disgust me. So the song that we're listening to actually tends to have a profound impact on who we are, sometimes on our thoughts, sometimes on what we believe, and it starts to affect us. So I wanted to just counteract maybe the world's song today, and I wanted to just contrast it with God's song. What is God actually singing over us? What is the promise that he wants to sing over you and I today? In this season? And how does it counteract maybe what our world is singing? And so the first one I want to look at, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here because I just think that these are not all that new. Again, this is a melody that we've heard and that we know. I don't think that is necessarily the issue. I think it's more about, are we hearing the melody? But the first one that I think that God sings over us is that I'm here. I'm here. We see this in Zephaniah 3:15 and 17. The Lord God himself, the King of Israel, will live among you. You know, and in a season like this, it's hard not to look at the Matthew text that says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. We serve a God that came to us in the flesh, right down to earth, right here with you and I. You know, and as we look back in Deuteronomy, we see that he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there. I'm right there with you.
And you know, we know this morning because we can sense his presence that it wasn't just the Christ child, but that Jesus said, I will send to you the Holy Spirit and my presence will be with you even today. And some of you guys know his presence even in this moment. And so the first promise that the Lord God sings over us is that I'm here. I'm here. And you know, we live in a world that seems to proclaim another truth. We live in a world that seems to be more connected than ever through airfare, through social media. You know, any teenager in the room probably has at least two social media apps on their phone right now, and they have connections and they have communities on those devices. We're more connected than ever before, but yet we are the most lonely we've ever been. And so the world we live in seems to be singing this song of loneliness over us. And although we seem more connected here in our hearts, in our feelings, it just doesn't seem so. And if we begin to listen to that song, then all of a sudden we start to draw conclusions like, there's no way God is here. I don't feel him. He seems so far away. And then we come to church and we see somebody that seems so close to him and we say, they're so close, but yet I'm so far away. And you know, it reminds me of a song, a modern day song written by a young lady, Miley Cyrus. And she's singing about her love to another boy. And one day I kind of stumbled across the lyrics of the chorus of that song. And I said, man, what if God sang that over us? Don't you ever say that I just walked away. Don't you ever say that I just walked away. Don't put that characteristic on me. I'm here. I'm here, Jerusalem. Israel, hear my voice. I'm right here. And then we begin to hear the cry of the Christ child. And then we begin to hear the tug of the Holy Spirit. And we remember, we can't ever say that God just walked away. He said he would be here. It's his promise. He's right here. Are we listening? Do we hear that promise? Do we receive that promise? Is he here? He said he would be. The second promise that I want to focus in on this morning is this idea that God said, I am for you. In verse 15, he disperses our enemies. In verse 17, it says that he is a mighty Savior. We sang about it this morning. A mighty Savior that is focused on us. In 19, it actually says that he deals with our oppressors. He saves the weak and the helpless. Saying right here that if anybody comes against you, I will deal with them. I am for you. I have your back. And he's not just saying, I'm going to save you in your relationships. This isn't just about our enemies, but this is actually about our circumstances as well. And so he says, I will save you no matter where you are. I want victory in your finances. I want victory in your family. If you're praying for a loved one, I want victory in them as well. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I want you to be healed. And you know, again, we look at this Miley Cyrus song and she starts to sing and she says, you know, again, don't you ever say that I just walked away. And then Jesus comes in and he says, I've never hit so hard with love. Jesus is saying, guys, I'm throwing everything I got. I'm coming like a wrecking ball to smash down your walls. I want you to succeed. I want you to win. I want you to be healed. That's all I've ever wanted. And all you ever do is break me, the song says. All you ever do is build that wall bigger and stronger against me, and I can't get in. And when we begin to listen to culture's song, when we begin to listen to the world's song, all of a sudden we can't hear that he's wanting to break in and help us to win because that wall is so thick and so strong. And he's saying, I just want to smash it down. I just want to break in. And so he's saying, I'm here for you. I'm for you. I'm advocating for you. And you know, guys, when it doesn't feel like that, because, you know, I'm not naive. I know that it doesn't always feel like we're winning. And I'm just praying for a family this morning. It doesn't seem like they're winning. But even when it doesn't feel like we're winning, may we never put on God a characteristic that is not him. He is for you. I don't care what your right now dictates. I don't care if you understand why this season is the way it is. We can never conclude that he's against us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am here. I am for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm cheering for you. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. That's the Lord. That's what he sings over us. Lastly, seems to tie in to this idea of forgiveness. And I believe that the Lord wants to sing over not only the Jerusalem, but over us today, that I have forgiven you. You know, one of the most difficult things and one of the most recurrent things that I deal with in youth culture today is young people feeling shame. So much shame. So much guilt. To the point where I see these young people and they come to me and they look me in the eyes and I'm looking back at them and I see wonderful young people that love Jesus, that are praying to him, that have families that are praying for them. And they just feel so broken and so guilty and so ashamed. And it's like somewhere we've missed the promise of Jesus. Somewhere we've missed that God says, I forgive you. Have we missed that? And then we start to look at ourselves and the world sings a song over us that you're a failure and you're not good enough and you'll never amount. You'll never be good enough. And we start to think, there's no way he could love me. I'm unlovable. And then we start to think that he despises us. No. It couldn't be further from the truth. He says, I've taken away my hand of judgment. And then he says later on, he says in 17, I delight in you. You can't delight in something you're disgusted with. Those two don't go together. That's not the same song. He says, I delight in you. And then we look in Romans and we see Paul where he begins to talk about it and he says, now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Jesus, there's no room for condemnation. There's no room for shame. There's no room for guilt. He's forgiven us and he will do it again and again and again. And Jesus said, even when you were still a sinner, right now, that's you and I, we screw up every day. I get it. I feel it. I feel not good. I feel like I'm a failure. 2 days ago, I felt like a failure because I suck at life. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. And I have an option. I can believe that I'm not good enough, or I can believe in a God that says, I will take my hand of judgment and I will take it off of you and I will delight over you and I will begin to sing over you because I love you. And I delight in you. There's no room for condemnation. May we never begin to hear the world's song of condemnation. It is not found in our God. It is not found in our God. When we seek him, when we turn our hearts to him, he forgives us. And if we see his big gavel coming down to send us guilty, then we're not listening to the right God, because he has forgiven us. It's nothing new this morning. We know that he's here, especially in this season with the Christ child. We know that he dwelt among us. We know that he's on our side. We know that he's for us. And we know that we're forgiven. That's not the issue. The question at the beginning of the service was, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear it? Do you really hear it? Do you hear his truth rising up in you? You know, I sat with a teenager not too long ago, and that teenager was having some real difficulties at home with family, like fighting with parents. And I said to that teenager, I said, why don't you get along with your mom? And they looked back at me and they said, she doesn't listen to me. Okay, child saying, my mom doesn't listen to me. Okay. So I was like, maybe it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me. He said, ask them if they listen. So I said, well, do you listen to your mom? Nope. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work very well. And as parents, some of you out there know, you drill truth into your kids over and over and over. I remember one time I had a student that is okay today before I share this story that actually got hit by a car, got off my bus. I was leading Route 456, and this young man ran out in front of a car, and the mirror of the car and the fender of the car hit him, and he went flying. I just want you to know, I took more Tylenol that night than he did. He was totally okay. But when I'm dialing his grandfather, who he lived with, and when I'm dialing his phone number, I'm like, I'm ready to get like yelled at, because I just, you know, I'm in charge of his grandson and he gets hit by a car. Like, I'm going to get pooped on, right? Here we go. This is not going to go well. Now, I know he's okay by this point, so I'm like, we're okay. But still, this kid got hit by a car under my watch. So I, hey, I know, you know, so-and-so's not home yet because he's still with me. You know, we're by the bus. He's okay, but he's been hit by a car. And Grandpa says, I told him to look both ways before he crossed the street. It's not that we've never heard this. It's that sometimes I don't think we believe it. It's that sometimes I just don't think we really hear it. It doesn't really resonate. It doesn't really get traction in our lives. And so I want to just say real quick as we end, do you hear it? Lord says in Zephaniah 2:3, says, seek the Lord, all who are humble, and follow his commands. Seek to do what is right. The Lord is simply saying, if you're that child that's saying, the Lord doesn't listen to me, and I don't listen to him, it's time for us to actually seek to hear what he's saying. It's time for us to humble ourselves, realize that he's bigger and greater than us, and that his song is resonating high above the trees, that his voice is greater than the seas. It's time for us to take a seat of humility and to really seek what he is saying, to clear out all other distractions, to turn up our hearing aids, and to listen. Because I could tell you some of the most simple truths the Lord has sung over me in seasons of my life. And it's as if I was completely unaware of how great his love is for me. But when I finally stopped and I finally listened, all of a sudden I could hear it. Do you hear it today? Do you hear his love? Lord Jesus, we started this sermon remembering how great you are. Lord, reflecting on you, delighting in you. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, we seek you. We pause and we wait for you. And I just pray, Father, even as we enter into communion here this morning, that you, Holy Spirit, that you would speak and that your truth would speak to us in a profound way. I pray for every other song right now. I just command every other song to be silenced in the name of Jesus. You have no authority in this place. We love you, Jesus. Amen.